Hey guys, I'm so excited to be with you. I thank you for just opening up your hearts to letting Eastern Michigan students join this last semester. Yeah, it's been super cool. Robert's with us tonight, and some are watching online, and some may jump in as well here and there. I thought Keith was going to come tonight, but we'll see if he shows up or not. But it's been a unique space. So I'm a new mom for the fourth time, and and then, you know, COVID, and then the gal that's helped us so incredibly, you guys might know Alex, she's actually going to be doing the internship this next year. She's blessed our family the last 2 years with our kids. It's been awesome, but she's student teaching and, like, bringing in a new person in the midst of COVID to watch your kids while you're, it's just been complicated. And so just having the connection of Eastern and U of M coming together to support one another has been just a gift to us. So I just want to say thank you to you. I haven't been here as much as I had hoped, but it has been just an honor and a joy that our students have been able to be here. So thanks. So I feel like God put something in my heart. And I don't know if you guys are note takers, but if you are, this would be a night to take notes. Because I believe God wants to speak to you. And you know, because sometimes it's discouraging when God calls you to be like a preacher, knowing that only 10% of what you say is remembered. Sometimes you're like, and praise God. So sometimes what helps us is actually taking notes, because then, you know, maybe there's a little bit of you'll remember more, maybe 15%, you know. But I believe the Holy Spirit's going to speak. I believe he wants to say some things that will encourage us. And I'm going to share a little bit of my story, too. Hopefully that'll be fun for folks to hear. I don't know. And so why don't we just ask God just to meet us where you are and where we are. If you don't mind, just put your hand on your heart. Holy Spirit, we just invite you to come and speak to us. We recognize, Lord, that unless you speak to our hearts don't change. When you speak, you bring transformation. And we thank you, Holy Spirit, that you speak today. And so we're asking that you would speak to our hearts even tonight, and that you would move us from where we are to looking more and more like you, Jesus. That we would be more surrendered, more available, more ready, more in love with you, God. And we just invite you to say what you have to say. I pray that you would use what you've put in my heart to be a blessing and an encouragement to those that are here and those who are watching online. In Jesus' name, amen. So this is so funny. So I've noticed some differences between Eastern Michigan and University of Michigan. Maybe some of you haven't had the joy of being on Eastern's campus because U of M is so encompassing. But I've been told, as I've worked with people, walked with people, done internships, that you guys are pretty serious folks. That, you know, it's like study, 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 get the stuff together, make it happen. How many of you are like, that's not me? How many of you would say, that is totally me? Way to be honest, right? And how many of you would say, that's not me, and I can tell because I'm at U of M? So I can tell because I'm from Eastern. And so I was talking about, like, hey, things that we do in our freshman dorms. It's all about party and fun and social and, like, how do you have the new thing that's going to be entertaining? And I was talking to U of M people, like, what do you guys do in your dorms? And I'm like, oh, it's only the serious professional talks. Because that's the only thing people come to. I'm like, oh, this is a whole nother world. So I might be a little crazy. I might be a little loud. I might be a little, you know, extroverted in my energy. So get ready, because I've been used to Eastern Michigan University, different culture, different way of doing life. And it's, you know, it's gonna be more EMU. Glory. So anyway, so as I was putting this together, I'm like, oh, my goodness, I have like a sermon title. And I'm, like, putting diagrams together. I'm like, this, that maybe I'm getting the U of M anointing. Because this is not how I typically operate. So you guys are in for a treat. And I hope I stay up with what I put together. Because, you know, it might just all just blow up. Who knows? But I really felt like God put this in my heart. Identity. The question for you tonight. Who are you becoming? Look at that. I even wrote that and took a picture and sent it. Isn't that awesome? That's how EMU I am. Right there. Come on now. Woo! So, who are you becoming? This is really, you know, identity was something I never really thought about, if I was just honest with you. But it's something that has become a very big word for me. And it's become a big part of my growth process in Jesus. And so, you know, the reality is we go through many spaces in our identity as we navigate this journey that we call life. So I'm going to talk through some spaces maybe you could relate to. So even now, some of you are probably navigating spaces. How many of you, like, coming to college, this is like you're in the first 2 years of college experience? Yeah, lots of you. Okay. So I would say that that's a new space to navigate, because you're like entering into a new space, right? So coming to college could be a new space to navigate. Learning new levels of independence, like I was at home with my family, now I'm on campus and I have new freedom that I'm exposed to. For some, it's owning your faith on a whole new level. Like it was like your parents' thing, or it didn't exist at all, and now God's like speaking to you and you're like, whoa, this is a big deal. Maybe it's developing new skills. Like, have you ever gone to class and your professor teaches something, you're like, whoa, that was amazing. Just like new revelation, you know, like new stuff you're taking on. I remember I came in, I was a music major at Eastern, and then I turned it into music therapy. But I remember my trumpet teacher, how many of you are musicians? I know you guys have reached a lot of musicians at U of M. Yeah, so as a brass player, you know, I had gone through a lot of stuff. I'll make this a short story. But basically, I was first chair in high school in a Division IV school in Ohio. So we weren't, like, that great. But I was first chair. And anyway, I wasn't, like the tuba guy over here. first in his state. But I was first in my little school. And in my little school, I had jaw surgery. I actually had a major underbite, and they surgically, repaired my mouth. And so I had this like thing, and now I have a profile that looks like this. And so if you're a brass player, that's what you call your embouchure, how you play your instrument. Everything comes from what's right here. And so when you like move your bone structure, it like messes everything up. So I was playing chimes in marching band because I couldn't blow the trumpet while my mouth was repairing and healing and getting ready, you know. So then it's like, oh, we go into concert season. I was like, I gotta play this. I'm using all the pressure I could to hit the high notes. You know, I'm just totally ripping my lips apart, just trying to play the instrument. And in the process of doing this, I get to college, and my professor was like, so we're going to change all of that. Oh, God, have mercy. I felt like I just picked up the trumpet in fourth grade, and I didn't know how to play, but this was going to be my major instrument all through college. I said, God help. These are developing new skills. Okay, so sometimes when you come into the university, you're taking on new levels of responsibility. How many of you have done things you've never done before? You're like, ooh, pay a bill? Some of you are just starting relationships. Woo! Some of you have been single maybe a little longer than you've hoped, and now you're navigating the life of, hey, I'm right. Come on, I know. 34, married at 34. Bless the Lord. So, you know, that's a navigating space. You're like, oh, I thought I'll be married at 24. So I was fine at 21. I was fine at 22. I was fine at 23. I was even fine at 26. And then the Lord said something in my ear. I want you to be single for 5 years. I'm not going to get married till after I'm 30. That was a whole new space to navigate. Who am I? Who am I becoming? What is this? Some of you are just married. How many of you are just married? How many of you are just about to have kids? How many of you about to have grandkids? Hey! I got everybody. I was paying attention. I was paying attention. How many of you are graduating this year? Okay, now you're navigating what's next. How many of you feel like navigating what's next is scarier than navigating college? Yeah, it's a whole new space. Thanks for being honest. Some of you didn't want to be honest, but there were some that were honest. Some of you haven't been enjoying the freedom that school has offered, or maybe the support that this ministry has given you in your faith, and now you're thinking, oh, summer's coming, and I'm going to be stuck at home, and it's COVID. And maybe that's a new transition space for you to think about. There's so many spaces, and these spaces are connected to how we see ourselves, aren't they? And we navigate through so many of these throughout our life. And then they get the world, and the world's trying to slap labels and things on you all the time, too, trying to figure out your identity, right? So many spaces to navigate when it comes to our identity. So as we navigate these spaces of who you're becoming, it's really easy to do something which I have done at many points in my life, is I attach myself to what I'm doing in that moment, right? So maybe I attach myself to what's in my world, or maybe I attach myself to what I'm doing, or maybe I attach myself to the people that are in my world, right? And ultimately, at the end of the day, I am losing a part of my identity because I'm trying to make it about something else outside of me, right? That's a real thing. So tonight, I want to challenge us with some thoughts on what God might have us consider, because this is what I believe. I believe that your identity is like the roots of a tree that go down deep. So how many of you are familiar with stories like trees with like shallow roots when the wind comes and like hurricanes happen, they just like pop all over? But then you have these trees that have really intense root systems and structures that go down deep. And I believe your identity is to be that in Christ. Now, if you try to make your identity about yourself, it'll be like a tree with shallow roots, because the reality is you've never been able to do what you've needed for yourself, and that's why we need Jesus. Because Jesus is the one who makes us what we aren't, and he's the one who saves us and redeems us, and he wants to cultivate such strength in us, not because of who we are, but because of who he is, and he wants these roots of identity to go deep in him, so that way when storms and challenges and crisis come, we're not like that tree with no roots that just falls over, right? And how many of you know our world just feels like it's getting more polarized, getting more challenging, getting more adverse? That those winds are coming. That's it's strong, right? And who are we, and who are we becoming in these spaces, right? So I believe that God wants to have us have roots that go down deep, that ground us, that no matter what these storms, tests, or challenges come, that we would be solid. And it's so easy to lose our identity, especially our identity in Christ, as we walk through this journey called life. So I want to tell you my story. So I'm just going to show you a picture of me. There it is. You can't see my head, but that's okay. So that's a picture of me at the age of 26. So let me just share a little bit about me as a single person. So when I came to college, my identity was very much wrapped up in my family. Look at that young whippersnapper. So, yes, I was raised in the country. Whippersnapper. So when I came to college, my identity was like really rooted in my family. So I'm the youngest of seven kids. And so basically growing up, you did whatever your family was doing. And then I remember there was this moment in high school, and we grew up in a really small town. Like, I tell people, past Cleveland, keep going. When you hit the Amish, you just missed me. Like, I'm way out there in Geauga County, Ohio, in a little place called Chardon, Clarendon, and I went to school in Burton. Anyway, in these little small spaces where 7th through 12th was in all one building in high school, right? So I remember talking to my teacher, who had all my siblings, and I'm the last one. And he's like, so are you going to follow the path of your brothers and sisters? And I was like, no, I'm going to make my own path. And I remember thinking, like, I just said that. Like, I've never thought that thought before. But it was the beginning of something in me, like, I don't want to just be my family. I feel like maybe there's something different. And then it was right before I went to college, I got a job, and I had a boss that loved Jesus, and I was a painter. Internal and external exterior house painting. And anyway, I got this job with an amazing man named Tom Owens, and still incredible person in my life. But he was the first person that said, Sarah, I believe God has something significant for your life. And I was like, you do? Because I don't know what it is. And so going through college, I was doing the motions. I didn't want to go to school. I had no vision for my life. I was doing it because you should go to school. It's good for you. You should have a diploma. You should do these things. I was doing what I should do. And in the midst of going to college, God began to get a hold of me. I got involved in this amazing group called Chi Alpha, and God began stirring passion in my life. And in that space, God then began to call me into ministry. And I noticed that my identity began to shift. So this is right when I was beginning ministry as a single gal at the age of 26, overseeing campus ministry at Eastern Michigan University. And in that space, I found out that I was becoming rooted in what I was doing. And what was weird about my identity was being found in what I quote-unquote was doing for God, but in sometimes it was like what other people noticed about me doing things for God. Does that make sense? So it was this external image thing of like, you know, that. And so my identity was, I found that was a real challenge for me. I was now becoming, my identity was being fought for. Do I find myself really who God sees me as, or am I just trying to please everybody around me and do all this stuff for other people? Then I walked into marriage, and I found my identity finding itself wanting to be attached to my husband's dreams. What does my husband want to do with his life? Oh, that sounds good. Let me do that. You know, he's doing, okay, let's do this, you know, or just wanting to be that perfect wife. I just wanted to do all the things that all the wives should do, and I just wanted to be that person, and my identity began, all of a sudden, it's like, wow, who's this person, you know? And then I go into motherhood, and I went into motherhood pretty quickly. After being married at 34, I was a mom of twin boys at the age of 35. And so that was fast. And that was a lot of kids. And they were boys. You guys are awesome, but you are like Tasmanian devils for the first 5 years of your life. So maybe not all of you. Maybe not all of you. My kids would get mad at each other and yank each other's hair out. I have no idea where that idea came from. I still don't understand. And then my daughter came along, and at 11 months, she's putting things in boxes by color. And my sons are kicking over towers and destroying parts and things in the house because they thought it was cool. Woo! It was amazing. So I find myself then getting into this place of caring for my kids and being the I can do it, mom. I can do everything, mom. And yet in all of this stuff, this is a war over identity. Why? Because my identity is wanting to be attached to things in my world. My identity is wanting to be attached to what I do. My identity is wanting to be attached to all these different things. And I want to tell you, God wars in a spiritual, jealous way for you to be attached to him. Because he is the foundation of everything. He says he's a solid rock. And you know what happens when we begin to attach ourselves to my job, my career, my this, my that, my whatever? We begin to find ourselves finding our hope or our value in those things. So then what happens when those things crumble? Then who we see ourselves as begins to crumble. If I've built myself up as I'm so good at this, right? It was a really kind of a weird space. So here I am as single, and Debbie, maybe you can show the family because we're now a family of four. Woohoo! There we are. I love it. My amazing kids. Just real quick, I want to brag. That's my husband, Daniel. He's amazing. He's awesome, and you would all know so if you had met him. And he is sporting a mohawk because I asked him to, and I think he looks amazing in that mohawk. So, and he likes it too. But I'm so excited. Anyway, he's amazing. And then my twin boys, Elijah's the firstborn. He's next to me. Isaiah's next to dad. He's the secondborn. Then Aaliyah, she came 2 years later. I had three under two for a month. Praise God. And then now Naomi. Naomi is 7 months, and she's so cool, and she's like trying to walk. You guys, she stood for 5 seconds on her own today and then freaked out and fell over. So that's our family today. And I found myself going from this ministry, extroverted, everything I did. Imagine if you're not in ministry and you're like, I don't know how to relate to ministry. Imagine yourself as like a PR person who speaks in front of a lot of people and like conducts and organizes a lot of gatherings, right? And facilitates relationships. Whatever that person is, that's what my life was looking like. Well, then you all of a sudden, I'm married, I have twins, and in 2 years, I have three children. My life went from like, to like, I am at home nursing a child, and I'm sitting here, and I'm bored. Like, what am I supposed to do next? They're teething. They're drooling. Oh, my gosh, they spit up again. Like, hallelujah. I love my children. And what was it? It was an identity crisis, and the Lord said, it's because you become attached to what you do, because that's not who you are. Boy, this is a big deal. I don't know what life is going to bring your way. But even now, I want you to be thinking, where are you at in your identity? What might you be finding yourself attached to? Where are you finding your heart? All right, so here we go. In it all, God has continually worked in my heart, and sometimes I would ignore what he was doing. But in it all, he ultimately is jealously pursuing me. And this is what he'd been saying to me the entire time. You're my daughter, and I'm calling you to be like me. And he's trying to root me and ground me there constantly. Okay, so here we go. You ready for the diagrams? I don't know if you're really ready, but here we go. I want to share some paradigms. These are things that God's been teaching me as he's been challenging me and keeping my identity attached to him. So first, diagram is not up there because I forgot to give it to them. So can you guys see this? Because it's like in red ink on a yellow paper, so no one can see this. It's three stick figures because I'm an amazing artist. And in my art, you'll see three words. You guys know that you're not just who you are, but there's like three parts of you. Jesus talks about it. He says your spirit, soul, and body. When he says you love the Lord your God with all your heart, your soul, your mind, and your strength, right? He talks about who we are and who he's made us to be. And I just really quickly want to talk about this because this has been really influential for me. When we come to Christ and he says you are new, do you believe that you're new? Do you really believe that you're new? Because at the cross, Jesus says we start where he finished. He said, it is finished. We just came through Easter. And now we start a new life with everything that he conquered. He conquered death, hell, and the grave. And sin. Death is the grave. Death, hell, and sin. He conquered it all, right? So when you start where he finished, you, he says, you're an overcomer in Christ. Because you start now with a new life. He says, I don't see you the way you see yourself. In fact, in Colossians, he says, I see you as without fault, free from accusation, without blemish or spot. It says that in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse like 22 or 24. Right? He's saying, I see you because I've washed you with the blood of Jesus. You're cleansed. Now, how many of you look at yourself and you're like, oh, I failed again? I can never get this right. What's wrong with me? Now, let me just help explain some things to you, because this was really helpful for me. We are made in three parts. So that regenerated part of you that's brand new is your spirit. The spirit part of you is absolutely made new. It's what we call you've been born again. Your spirit was dead in trespasses and sins, but now you've been made alive in Christ. Now we have the soul. The soul is our thoughts, our mind, right? Our heart, our will, our emotions. This is the place that God is renewing or sanctifying. He's making new every day as we set our spirit on him, right? And then it's amazing. How many of you are like exercise folks? Come on, exercise people. I like this. I like the this. This is a good place. This is the I'm becoming. I'm not where I want to be, but it is happening somewhere. And so isn't it interesting? How many of you have been like, I don't want to do this? And then you put your shoes on and you start running. And then you're like, oh, this is actually kind of fun. Oh, I'm doing great. Oh, let's do this now. And then all of a sudden, it takes about 5 minutes for me. I'm about a 5-minute warm-up person. And after about 5 minutes, something happens and kicks in. Because what's happening is my emotions are no longer dictating how I feel. It's now compelling my body. My body's now awake, right? And my body begins to respond. When these are out of order, our body tells our spirit what to, our soul what to think, and our soul tells our spirit. You got to have them in an order where your spirit is controlling, right? This is why it's so important that in this renewed life, we set our affection on Christ. We set our thoughts on Christ. We renew our mind in Christ. Let me read a couple verses to you. In Proverbs 23:7, it says, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. How you renew your spirit, man, is important because it will transfer into what you think. And what you think becomes what you walk out. So it's important that we take care of what we think, because as a person thinks, so is he. Marcus Aurelius, I'm sure you guys know that name because you're all like U of M students. He said this thing, we become what we think about. That was his conclusion of the matter. Follows in line with Scripture. Romans 12, verse 2, Paul said this. He said, don't be conformed to the patterns of this world, but be transformed by what? The renewing of the mind. Why? Because if we don't renew the mind, we end up becoming what God has not called us to become. We need to renew the mind so that we stay rooted and grounded in who Christ has redeemed us to be. I hope you're getting this. This is actually really powerful stuff. In Colossians 3, verses 1 through 3, I'm not going to read the whole thing, but it says, because we've now been raised with Christ, set your sights or set your heart or set your affections on things above. Actually, in the New Living, I love how it says, set your sights on the realities of heaven. Do you know what Jesus called us to pray in Matthew chapter 6, verse 9? He said, your kingdom come, your will be done. Where? As it is in. We want the realities of heaven to be normal to us. We want it to be normal. And if it's not normal, guess what? We get to keep renewing our mind. That we actually believe what God has spoken. That what comes out of us is who God says that we are. So let me show you this little diagram. Diagram number one. This has been my little paradigm, and this is totally EMU because I drew this just for you guys. All right, so here is how it's been very, like, normal for me. Me in the middle, and I have my life delegated, right? School takes like 40% of my life. Work takes 40% because I worked like a lot. And then, like, family, I probably should have been like 1% because I, like, was away from home and you know, in college years. And then friends were like probably more like 9%. And then hobbies, I don't even know if I had them because I did everything with friends. And then, you know, I tried to give God my devotional time in the morning, right? And then it's like, okay, if I add all that up, that's like 100% of my life. And it's always trying. And so then when you're like, oh, I'm such a bad Christian because I'm only giving God 20 minutes or 5 minutes or whatever. And I'm like, okay, I gotta move everything else out of the way so that I can give Jesus like 40%. How can I give God 40% of my time? How many of you have been in this paradigm? We're just trying to like, how do I make it work differently? I just want to give you a new paradigm. Let's go to the next one. It says this, before I explain the paradigm, it says this in Colossians 3, verse 3. It says this, for your life has been hidden with Christ. When we're hidden in Christ, this is the paradigm I believe God wants us to get to. That it's not God is this part, and work is this part of me, and family is that part of me. But I believe the paradigm God wants us to get to is God is a part of, I am in him. So when I go to school, it's, Lord, what do you want me to do today? How do you want my attitude to be today? How can I love people today? Because I'm going to school with you, Jesus. What's your heart right now? I believe the paradigm is, okay, God, you called me to love my family. Okay, oh, whew, they know my trigger points. Okay, Lord, how do I love my family in this space? Because you're calling me to be a blessing to my family. How do I be a blessing? Help me to be a blessing. Holy Spirit, give me strength and grace to love my family. Okay, and then I'm like, I have to do work. Okay, how do I go to work? Because, oh, God, you provided this job for me. I'm not good enough to provide this job. You even gave me the talent that I have. Okay, so while I'm at work, Lord, what do you want me to do there? Oh, Jesus, if I go out and pray for that person, I might get fired. Oh, you gave me the job, and you're calling me. You want me to pray for them? It's on you then. Okay, I'm going to pray for them. Because if I lose this job, it's you. You're my provider. It's not them. It's you, Jesus. Okay, I'm stepping out. I'm going to pray for them. They were blessed. They gave their life to Jesus. That was Jesus. He wanted me to pray for him. The paradigm shift. I'm doing it because I'm in Christ. Now, I give special time to just have time where all the distractions are away. That's devotional space. But that doesn't mean I leave Jesus in my devotional space and go do my work. That has been my normal, and Jesus is saying, this is my normal, Sarah. He's wanting to give a paradigm shift, right? Let me give you one more. Was that helpful? Let me give you another one. All right, here we go. I'm feeling like I have the U of M anointing. I'm serious. This is amazing. Okay. Diagrams. Whew. Okay. And then this one, this is something that the Lord kind of challenged me with in the last couple years. And you know what? There's probably flaws in this paradigm or diagram. I'm just going to be honest with you. But it's brought revelation to my heart. So I'm just going to take the revelation. If it doesn't fit every paradigm of scripture that you know, just, it's all right. I'm not offended. You can tell me it's off. So... But this is the roots of the tree is identity. And intimacy and mission are branches that come out. This is what I have noticed in my life experience. I step into spaces where it's all about God. And I'm just like prayer and worship and the word. It's all awesome. But I've gone through seasons where I'm like, God, I'm here. And it's like. God, I'm here again. And in the process of trying to listen and trying to be present, I get weary because I'm like, God, I used to show up before and you were right here and I'm showing up now and you're not. Where are you? And all of a sudden, because I'm not rooted in who God says I am and who he says, what he says about himself, I'm now freaking out. Like, does God love me? Does he even care about me? Like, where is he? Did he leave me? Like, he said he'd never leave me, but he's left me. What on earth is happening? Because it's based in how I'm feeling and not in truth. Do you understand the difference? So intimacy without your roots and your foundation can honestly, I've seen this happen. I've seen it happen in myself. How many of you have gone to a conference, you've been fired up, God met you, and it doesn't even take a week and you're back and you're miserable? You were like, I made all these commitments, okay, God's going to do this stuff. And a week later, you're like, I failed in every area. God hates me. None of this is worth anything. What happened? You had such intimate moments with the Spirit of God. And then what happened? The foundations weren't laid in Christ, right? Or we get on the other side. Everything's about mission. We're going to tell everybody about Jesus. We're going to do it today. And we're just on it. We're going to do. And before you know it, you're doing, and you, like, don't even spend time with Jesus, you know? And you're upset, and you're like, I've done all this stuff for you. Why? Because then our identity has become a part of the mission. But those two things are not evil in and of themselves. Intimacy is so important. Being connected, knowing the Father's voice, feeling his presence, all of that is so valuable. Knowing and being on mission and doing what God's calling us to do, being his servant, his called one, his sent one, is so vital. But when the identity piece is missing, that's a tree that'll blow over given a storm. That's a tree that'll blow over given a strong wind. That's a tree that when the storms of life come and they beat upon that house, it's not going to stand because its roots weren't deep. Does that make sense? How do we wrap this up? Y'all ready? This is the question that I started with. Who are you becoming? And this is the phrase, I'm telling you what, guys, this is not how I think. Either my husband, God's blessing me with gifts that he has, because, you know, we've been preaching to each other because of COVID. So, you know, you get two preachers in a house, you got to preach to each other. So EMU shut down. We got like 10 people, you got to preach to somebody. Anyway, but I really felt like this was a powerful phrase. Maybe I heard it somewhere before. I don't know. But write it down if you're writing down. Who you are becoming is more important than what you are producing. You will produce who you are. We get so wrapped up in the stuff. But if we will become like Christ, I got to tell you what, friends. God's compelling me into a new season of intimacy, and I'm really thankful. It's been a little bit of a dry season for me, just to be really honest. And I'm thankful that he's compelling, because I've known it's been dry, and I've tried to work to making it happen, and it's like, God, it's just not happening. Like, I really need help. I need your spirit to empower. I'm going to trust you in the desert. I'm going to trust that you're who you say you are, but I know what's available, and I'm looking forward to the springs that you say come in the desert to, like, revive. I love intimacy with the Lord. And I have, tell you what, I have been in spaces where I have been only out of praying in the Spirit and spending time with God, not because I'm trying to do ministry, not because I'm trying to love people, not because I'm trying to produce something, but just because I've been in God's presence. I'll do stuff and, like, all this stuff will happen. Like, God will just orchestrate. Favor will show up. Like, things will just fall into place. Stuff just happens. And you're like, I don't even know. But I just, like, I had a great prayer time today, you know. And the last couple of days have been awesome. And then you just start seeing, like, choom, 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 choom. I conversations with people. And, man, it's been like, oh, I read a verse, you know. And all of a sudden, these scriptures that have been in my spirit for, like, I don't know, the last time I saw it, it's just coming out. And I'm just telling people stuff and truth and, like, whoosh, 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 whoosh. And it's not because of Sarah. It's because the power and the presence of God is there. Who we become is more important than what we produce. If we can be thinking about what we're believing and be more intentional about that than we are about what skill am I developing. I had a friend of mine who graduated from Eastern Michigan as a nurse, and she's from Taiwan, international student. And she said, I don't know how to do this. And she was like, I can't even prepare enough because I'm so overwhelmed by what this exam is going to require of me. So she's like, I got 20 minutes. And she just tucked her head down. She put her hands in front of her, and she just prayed in the spirit for 20 minutes. She went and took the exam and aced it. I'm telling you what, there is more that can come out of who you're becoming in Christ than what you're trying to get out of your own natural efforts. It will always fall short because you can't produce what you need to be. But God in you, whoo, come on. So this is the question. I want you to think about these three things. I didn't put them up there, so you can write them down or you can listen really well. I don't know where you fall in this, but how are you in this moment? How are you doing in believing God and his word in your paradigm more and more in every season or in every challenge? How are you doing in your believing? Do you find in the challenges that you're coming into that you're like, wow, I'm trusting God more in this season than I did the last struggle I had? Or are you finding like, oh my goodness, I have more fear controlling me right now. I have more like concern and anxiety wrapping up my mind than I do faith and confidence right now. How are you doing in your believing right now? Number two, how are you doing in your faith in becoming like Jesus? What I mean by that is that the paradigm, like where Jesus would go, he brought transformation because he ushered in the presence of God. How are you doing in becoming like Jesus in your faith, believing that where you go, Jesus is with you, believing that he's compelling you to be like him in these situations? How are you doing in that space? Think about it. And then lastly, how is your identity being attached? Is it being attached more to God in this season, or is it being attached more to other things in this season? How are you doing in the attaching space of your identity? Do you find that you're being attached more to stuff around you, people around you, what you do, how you see yourself? Or do you find like, man, I'm really being attached to like what God has for me? Do you get those three things? So the first one is your believing, your paradigm. Am I believing God in these seasons? Am I having faith that I'm bringing Jesus with me wherever I go? And am I attaching my identity to Christ, or am I attaching my identity to other things? Believing, faith, attachment. And in these areas, I want us to just take a moment in response to the Lord. I mean, you might say all of them. And the reality is it's probably true. And all of these, Lord, I need more of you. But I just felt like maybe God would say he would highlight something to your heart. Now, this is where I want to help you, because this is where I fall into. Like, oh my gosh, I'm failing again. I'm not believing well enough. I don't have enough faith. I'm not attaching the right things. I'm failure. That's where my brain can go. Some of you might be like me. But I want to encourage you, when we bring reflection, it's not to say you're bad and you're failing. When we bring reflection, it's to say, Holy Spirit, I want to do this part with you. Could you help me? Because I can't do it without you. That's what the invitation is. The invitation isn't strive harder, work harder in your flesh. Come on, get it together. But the real thing is, in your identity, we need to invite the Holy Spirit to help us become like him. And I want us to, in this moment, maybe the worship team, if it feels appropriate for whatever you guys have in your heart, but maybe even just music, just as we take a moment before the Lord and just to invite God into this space, say, Holy Spirit, I want to invite you into this space because it's showing up and I'm recognizing it. Even as Sarah was talking, I'm just like, oh, yeah, that you've been talking to me about that. And I'm not doing it well, but I'm trying to do it by myself. I can't do it alone, Jesus. I can't even do it. I need you completely. And I'm inviting you into this space. I need your grace to work here. I need your help here. I need your power here to work in this area of my life. And I want you to just take a moment before the Lord, and then I want to pray for us. But let's take a moment. Just let Holy Spirit speak, and you talk back with the Lord, and you surrender, and you give yourself to him, and invite him to rule your heart.